All right. Where last we left off, in this battle to retake Cordova, you all had accompanied Sadra forward into the palace of the Grand Sultan. And after making your way rather quickly to his throne room, having a brief scuffle with his guards before destroying his defensive barrier and somewhat holding him hostage to keep his guards at bay, you were able to break the tier of time, but not without some consequence, as he mocked Sadra in her attempts and reminded her that she knew the cost, the trade. It was in this moment that Nadia came forward and gave Sadra the strength that she needed to do what was right, not just for herself, but for her people, for her country. And breaking the tier, the portal was opened, and Nadia encouraged the rest of the party to follow Sadra, to go through the portal to finish this, to make things right, before she and Artaxis turned, took each other's hand, and waited for the guards to come. As the last of you pushed through the portal, looking back behind you, you could see just as the guards were bursting into the room and preparing to attack, Nadia reached back and released a harrowing blast of divine fire at the already broken and cowering Grand Sultan laying at her feet. You didn't have time to see what was left of him, but bones can only take so much fire before they turn to dust. And that was probably enough. As you step through the portal, you find yourself suddenly in the exact same room, but things are very different here. You can see that Sadra has stopped just in front of you as you come out through the portal behind her, and just beyond her is the same dais, the same throne, but the room is empty. There are no guards currently in the room. There's only two individuals, a very old and haggard version of the Grand Sultan, and a djinn. And the djinn is kneeling before him. He's caught by surprise as you all come in, and at first speaks up and says, "Empress, you look younger, but no matter. You are just in time for something that has been a long time in coming." And he turns back towards the one who kneels before him. "Mojaddin, I know my final wish." And he turns his eyes back towards Sadra, seeing the rest of you almost for the first time. But there is a look of pure hatred in his eyes. Roll initiative. All right, let's go for 20 and above.
Total of 21.
I rolled a natural 20, which brings me to 23.
And 21 for Azel.
And Mew. Mew, you had a 21?
That is correct. My current dex score is 14.
Azel, what is your dex?
17.
Okay, and Maneha, what is your total initiative?
3.
With your roll. So it would be what, 23?
Yeah. 23.
All right, 15 to 20. All right, 10 to 15. All right, Katsu has a 15, it looks like.
I believe so, yes.
All right, 10 to 15, anybody else? All right, under 10.
Keen has a 6.
And Brew has 5 off of a natural 1.
Some bad initiative rolls for all of the NPCs here. Maneha, with that crit success, you do gain access to the surprise round. So, go ahead and take a single action.
How far away is this guy from me? Not the djinn, the ex-sultan.
So, the sultan is probably about 15 feet away from you.
Okay. Can I take free actions during the surprise round?
I don't think so.
Okay. In that case, he will use a move action to get up to the Sultan's face.
Okay, and you have to kind of use dodge around where the djinn is at to avoid his reach.
That's fine. My walk speed is 40.
Okay, that's fine. You move up and close up. Do you want to kind of get behind him?
No, I want to get right in front of him.
Okay, to do that, you will have to come into the attack range of the djinn. You could do it without getting attacked this time, but you would be within his range.
Okay.
Okay, very well. Then we begin the initiative. Maneha, you are first.
All right, is this guy wearing a necklace?
Make a perception check.
So that specifically is what Manea is looking for. And 25.
Yes, you do see a very familiar amulet.
All right. Manea would like to try to grab it and yank it off of him. What kind of check would that be? Would that be a grapple or a disarm? Well, never mind. Either way, it'd be the same thing. He doesn't have any bonuses to stuff. So, anyway, that's what he would like to do. Would that be a combat maneuver check? Or
yes,
would I need
be.
To grapple the guy first?
It would be a... So go ahead and make a touch attack, followed by a combat maneuver check to see if you can disarm him of his jewelry.
Twenty-three touch attack.
Okay, that is a hit, so go ahead and roll your CMB.
Adding. 29.
Alright, that is enough to beat his CMD, so you snatch the amulet away, even as one of his hands tries to hold onto it, rip it away, to snap it off of his neck.
Manea's gonna shout at the top of his lungs, I wish that this man, and he will point at the ex-sultan, may no longer make any wishes today.
Okay. Alright, Okay, go ahead and roll a d20 and add your character level to it.
Adding. 27.
Okay. So far, nothing seems to have happened that you notice. Aesil, it is your turn.
How far is the Sultan from me?
About 15 feet.
15?
Correct.
Okay. Aesil's gonna use Steel Breath on him and try to make it so he can't speak at all anyway. It's a Fortitude save, DC 18, I think.
Okay, well, with a natural 3, he fails. So he feels the wind ripped violently from his lungs. All right. And would you like to move?
No, but the guy also takes some damage.
Oh, wonderful.
8 damage.
All right. Okay, Mew, it is your turn.
Sorry about that. Mew is going to have hold out one of his hands and pop one of the gauntlets, and inside this gauntlet is a symbol of mirroring. So everyone gets one additional copy, so 50% mischance. And it is also a gauntlet of Servitor 6, so he'll summon Lilith again, who will begin her bardic performance just in case. And you know what?
And that is a +3 attack and damage, correct?
That is correct. Trinity is going to make Mew invisible, and then Mew, just for the feel of nostalgia, is actually going to cast Evil Eye on the djinn.
Okay.
DC 23 will save to see if he can shorten the duration.
All right, he does not pass.
Hey, then he takes a penalty to... he's going to actually shift his eyes to red to make him take a -4 to all attack rolls. Actually, no. He's going to shift it to yell to make him give him a -4 to his AC, and it will last the next 10 rounds. And that ends Mew's turn.
Okay, very well. Then that brings us to the Sultan, who was going to cry out for his guards, but cannot. So he clutches his throat, and he will use his action to essentially regain his breath, which I believe he can do. However, he is unable to talk right now. He kind of motions wildly, it's clutching for air. Alright, that brings us then to Sadra. And she is going to go ahead and move over to a place where she is in front of him and the djinn is off to the side, and she is going to she's going to speak to the djinn, and she's going to try to convince the djinn to stand down. He is not your master anymore. You can be free. We can set you free. There's no need to battle here. And she is going to attempt diplomacy against the djinn. And that is, no joke, a natural 20. So, this is going to go a lot shorter than I thought it was going to go. As the djinn looks over at Maneha, who now has the amulet, and says, "You will set me free?" Which Sadra looks to Maneha before saying, "We will." And he just steps back and puts his hands up. And the Sultan looks very, very upset. Then, Sadra will go ahead and, yeah, she'll just stand there. Alright, Katsu's turn.
Seems like this battle is going well, but in case it goes sour, I'll do Blessing of Fervor. Just right where I am. Just in case. Here's the description of the spell, just as a reference.
Alright, that brings us to the djinn, who is going to put out his hand for the amulet from Maneha. He'll essentially use his action to attempt to take it from Maneha. Maneha, do you resist?
I think they might be having audio problems. Give me a moment.
Alright, well, while we are waiting, Keen is immediately after, and then Bruman will be up, so.
Oh, sorry, the djinn is asking for the amulet?
Correct. The djinn has essentially reached out his hand over to where you are, because you're within his range, and it's palm up. He's expecting you to give him the amulet. He's using his action to take something from you. Do you resist?
Do you swear that you will go, and you will trouble none of the people in this kingdom?
The deal has been made. This is not my fight. Do not make it my fight.
Maneha slowly nods his head, and he gives him the amulet.
then he is gone. You see him take the amulet in his hand. He focuses on it. It turns to powder and flows through his fingers down to the floor and just completely disintegrated. And he is going to teleport away. He's gone. All right, Keen is next.
Okay, I'm also using Dacossus' phone because our internet suddenly cut out. Quick question. Sadra, does Keen still have the ballista?
I believe she did give him the that whole bag, the artillery bag. It would have the ballista in it, yes.
Cool. Okay. Keen is going to grin, not that anyone can see him, because the one person in the room who he felt pretty sure could see him just left the plane. So he is going to get out the ballista and move up in the air where he can get a clear shot at the Sultan without hitting any of his friends. Let's see, so that's a move action from the wolf, move action from Keen to get out Lisa, and he'll use his standard action to load it.
Okay. So you should have it out and loaded at this point, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Very good. Alright. Then, Bruman, it is your turn.
He's going to follow Sadra's lead on this one, so he will wait to see what she's going to do.
Okay. And if you look at Sadra, you can see rage and hatred in her eyes. Maneha, it is your turn.
He's going to turn around. And he's going to grab the not Sultan anymore. Just a moment, mapping. There's a 25 combat maneuver check to grapple.
Okay, that is successful.
Okay, I got him. And he is going to begin the process of basically pulling him off his chair and pinning him to the ground. I know I can't do all that in this round, but that's what Manea is going to be. That is Manea's goal. So that would be it. He wouldn't do anything else the turn.
Okay, Aesol, your turn.
Aesol's gonna prep a spell, and then she's gonna hold it until, I don't know, just in case if anyone comes through the door to attack them.
Alright, Mew, it is your turn.
Mew is going to make his way to the other side of the throne, where Sadra on one side, Maneha in the middle, and him on the other side, and he'll say, "Things aren't looking good. We know this could go one of a few ways. Play nice, and perhaps things might not be too terrible."
And the Sultan responds and says, I have done nothing wrong. This is an outrage. Your Majesty, what is the meaning of this? You have no regard for the traditions. The Sultans are not to be treated such.
I believe you're Vizier, correct?
I am the Sultan of this city. And Sadra looks at you and just kind of nods. He is correct about that.
Okay, fair.
Every individual city has a Sultan. In the previous reality, he called himself the Grand Sultan. So.
I stand corrected.
But he looks back over at Sager and says, "Your Majesty, have them release me. I've done nothing wrong. And this interference in my affairs will be noted." Sager responds and says, "'Tis not I who have been interfering. You have done much. What was the wish that you were about to give?" And she is going to do a sense motive as he hesitates to respond.
It is of no consequence now. It was a simple local parliamentary affair.
Indeed. Somehow I don't believe that. Was it by chance to remove my family from existence? Perhaps to remove my father? But she looks
a little bit taken back and shocked.
I don't know.
You have ever been after my father's seat, and you have attacked his very memory. But you have done more than that now, and it must be punished.
Lady Sadra, if I may. Amine is still like holding really. He is pinching this guy's shoulder hard. It's gonna bruise.
She looks momentarily towards you, but you notice, even in just a quick motion, as a free action, she draws out that flintlock pistol that bears just a simple Templar crest in its pistol grip. She's never fired it, but she has kept it with her. Not that you guys have seen, but she has drawn that pistol.
Manea, if he may, he will grab the Sultan, but he'll maneuver him so that he's no longer in the path of the pistol. Lady Sadra, please, if I may. He looks like he very much wants to say something to you before you shoot this guy.
What is it, Maneha?
Because of the actions of this evil man, you were banished to another realm. And even you had to go through many horrible things and into a world similar to this in order to save it. I propose, and he stares daggers at the man, that we should give him a choice. He may stay here and face the wrath of the Empress, or...
And he smiles and looks back at Sadra.
We may give him the same treatment that was given to you. We will take him from this world. He will go into exile just as you did. Lady Sadra, and his eyes soften just a little bit. Because things have been set aright, no one else need die. And if he is taken away from here, he can do no more harm.
And you can see there's frustration in her eyes as you say this, and it quickly starts to well into some frustrating tears as she blinks her eyes and kind of shakes her head to clear her eyes, and she says, "But what's to keep him from coming back?"
Maneha glances over at Mew and smiles just a little bit.
I think we can come up with a solution.
True. Hello, and Mew does turn to Maneha. I believe Sadra does have some frustration she does need to work out. Why does it have to be either or? Why can't it be both ends?
Maneha arches an eyebrow. What did you have in mind?
Katsu, you can bring people back, yes, especially if they'd, well, passed on very recently. Perhaps just a quick reminder could still be useful.
Well, normally I'm kind of against stuff like that, but I'll make an exception.
Maneha looks a little uncomfortable, but he looks at Lady Sedra. If you wish this, and he will spin the guy around, kick him in the back of the leg so he falls on the ground, it will be done. But then, even as she stands there contemplating, Manea's got the other guy by the hair. He holds up his other hand towards Sedra. But I hope you will not, Lady Sedra. Because that is the sort of thing that this man, and he pulls him up just a little bit by the hair to make it hurt, that is the sort of thing this man would do. You, I know, are better than that. It is what he deserves. But is it something you deserve to have to do to him?
And you can tell she's starting to lose it. Losing control to her own anguish for everything that he put her through. And she lowers the pistol back down.
Manea will put his knee into the man's back and send him to the ground, bring his head down to him and say, "Your Empress is merciful. Because of that, you may yet have a chance to learn how to act so merciful. But if you do not..." And then he'll keep the knee in his back, but pull his head up so that his head is all the way back, and Manea can lean down and stare into the man's eyes.
"I will do what she chose not to today. Do you understand this?"
And he nods vigorously.
"Good." And he will push his face back down into the ground. "Now then, I believe we should tie this man up, we should put him somewhere safe, and we should have a celebration."
Sager steps up to where he's at. He's very close to him. And "You have no idea what you put me through. You took everything away from me. Everything. And I have had to fight to come back here. And now you live. So count Etath merciful. Because it's not for you. It's for my parents." And she turns away. As she turns away from him, and you contemplate what to do, all of you that are not from Cordoba feel a ringing in your ears. That migraine from before. As you look over to the portal that you came through, the rift in realities, and you realize that the portal is destabilizing. And as it continues to destabilize, it begins to grow and envelop the space around you. The very fabric of reality in the air that is in this throne room begins to shift and quake and tear, breaking apart. And as it does, you have only a moment because of your proximity, kind of look back to each other before everything fades out to white. And that reality changes. When you come to, you are in a comfortable, somewhat dark and kind of a low light room with several couches, tables with food on them, plenty of places to stretch out and sleep as you have been. And as you all come to in this place, you recognize it. You're in the guest chambers. In the Forge of the Seventh.
Manea is going to jump out of the very nice bed and look around for the Sultan.
Sultan is gone. Do a perception check. Okay. You notice that Sadra is also gone.
Manea looks a little bit panicked. Are there any empty beds in this room?
There are a number of other couches, chairs, pillows at low tables. But you don't see anywhere that looks like a place where somebody has been sleeping.
Alright, he's going to run out of the guest room, run to the forge, and call out for Sadra. He can't find her there, he'll just run everywhere calling for Sadra.
Okay. Maneha goes off running, calling out for Sadra. What do the rest of you do?
Mew is going to look around, see that Sadra is gone, and then immediately try to scry on her.
Okay. Do you have to make a check for that, I believe?
Believe she needs to make a save.
Okay, I will go ahead and roll it, just because she wouldn't know what it necessarily was, but I doubt it would be enough. On the other hand, it probably is enough. Well, here's a question. Would she recognize that it was him, or would it just feel like... I mean, is that even something that you would recognize?
Not really.
So the save is subconscious.
I believe so.
All right, her will save is a 30.
Okay. I don't think I have anything of hers. I'm also assuming she's on another plane of existence. I know it will. Yeah. But I know
Sheen would hand him the ballista if he knew what he was doing. Ballista is technically Sadra's.
Okay. It might help a little bit. Honestly, what he really needs is some hair from her. But if he had her hair, he would be able to make it through. But if he does not, I don't think he can.
I know it'll take many a while to get through all this place, but if he actually does and doesn't find Sandra, he'll come back to the rest of his friends.
Maneha, you, when coming out to the forge, you would recognize that the forge is still. That the forge is quiet. While the star still burns in the forge itself, the work has stopped. And you would catch sight of Rashaan simply sitting by the forge.
This scares him even more. He will run to Lord Rashaan and skid to a stop and panting ask,
Lord Rashaan, where is Lady Sadra?
It would appear that you have succeeded. I take it then that you are one of her friends.
Yes, of course. We have met before. Do you not recognize me?
And he will show him, like, his metal arm.
This is fine craftsmanship. And I do not doubt that it is my own. And yet I have not seen you before.
But how? I have seen you. You gave this to me. Where is Lady Sadra? I must find her. I have pledged that I will see her safely back to her people.
Then your pledge is complete. For she has returned to her home.
He's panting and panting. And then it's like something dongs in him, like his face lights up, and he smiles really big.
This is wonderful.
He kind of clears his throat and looks up at Rashaan.
If I may, Lord Rashaan, it is very nice of you to house us here, even though I think you do not know who we are. But if I may ask for a favor, could you send us back to Cordoba so that we could see her?
I would speak with all of you.
Oh,
but
of course.
I can do this.
And actually, before Rashaan even finishes the sentence, Manea will run back to the party and shout something in Kintuk and then shake his head.
come, we must speak to Lord Rashaan. It is all right. Everything is all right, I think. It is confusing, but everyone, come here.
Keen is already moving, having understood the Kintuk.
As is you, also having understood the Kintuk.
What?
Manea will reach over and grab Katsu by the arm and drag him out to Rashaan.
Okay!
And as you all make your way out to the forge, you find it just as quiet as before. When you approach, Mew, you remember the warning about getting too close to the Star Forge. And as you approach, he does step forward and meet you far enough away that you would not be hurt.
Fair.
Welcome to my forge. Although you may already know me, I will introduce myself to you anyway, as I do not know you.
It is a pleasure to re-meet you, Rashaan.
I am Rashaan, the Seventh Forge Lord. and father to your friend Sadra's mother. I had known that this path would need to be walked. And through the aid of a friend, we set things in order. But you have aided her in bringing it to an end. For that, you have my humble thanks. I wish to give you each a token of that gratitude. You need only say it. And in essence, he is offering each of you a wish.
You looks to Berman.
Brew looks back a little hesitantly and uncertainly.
Do we wish to take a different road? I leave this decision to you.
He considers a moment. Cringes a little bit, but nods.
He nods, understanding and actually agreeing.
Keen is looking at Maneha and everyone else with a bit of uncertainty, since Keen still doesn't know that you can get wishes in this place.
Maneha will lean towards Keen, noticing his confusion, and say, well, Lord Roshan has just told us we may ask him for anything, and he is a djinn. So that means he can grant wishes.
Anything?
Well, Maneha looks hesitant and
Keen steps forward and says, Keen Gai Latan.
And Roshan knows all languages, but I do not.
Keen says he wishes for more strength.
And Roshan nods and looks to you and simply says, so be it. And you instantly feel yourself infused with life and vigor and strength as your muscles expand and grow, and you gain a permanent +4 to your strength stat.
Keen looks in amazement at himself and then puts both fists to his shoulders and bows deeply in gratitude to the djinn.
Maneha will grab onto Keen's bicep and squeeze a little bit.
It is like squeezing one of your metal biceps.
He will speak in Kintuk, so only Keen and Miu can hear it, but he will say, your mother will be very impressed.
Keen grins.
As everyone else is contemplating what they want to ask Lord Roshan for, Manea will slowly step back from King, like to give everybody else a look at him too, but, you know, it's doubtful nobody else will notice because he's not that stealthy, but he'll just slowly keep stepping backwards until he's just behind everybody else.
What did the rest of you do?
This is like Katsu's like greatest loot he could ever get, but he's worried because one, he doesn't know where Sadra is, he doesn't see Sadra. And two, he also knows that wishes can go very, very awry. He'll go and ask Mew, like, for advice on wishes.
You have a similar feeling about wishes. He would simply say, whatever you wish for, be sure to think it through. And be sure to word it very carefully. I believe I know what you true... Well, I'm not going to say that I think I know what you truly desire, but... Think it through. Think what you truly, honestly want in its purest form. And go for it.
I'll have to write it down just to make sure there's no loopholes or anything. And he'll check his pocket. Apparently there's a piece of paper in his pocket.
Night glider. As Katsu reaches into his pocket, feeling a strange presence there, something that he didn't put in his pocket, what does he find?
He finds a piece of paper with a note written on it. And also another thing wrapped in paper.
He'll open up the note, read the paper, and look at the object wrapped in.
Alright, should I read it or copy paste?
Why not both?
The note says, it's from Nadia, and it says, Dear Katsu, I'm sorry our time together was so short. I would have liked to get to know you better. I pray that if you're reading this, you and my daughter are safe and our enemies are defeated. Thank you. I want you to know that I trust in your love for Sadra. Technically, you have already passed a test for my father, in this fragment of time at least. You have proven yourself true. And with that, you could have earned the blessing of the father already. I pray that you will learn to have faith in a Taff who has brought us this far. Promise me that you will do everything in your power to ensure a follower of a Taff stays on the throne in Cordoba, to lead our people, and you have my blessing. My gift, Nadia. And if you open the gift,
yes,
you will find a box. A small wooden box with a rose carved in it.
It's a box. And he'll open the box.
And inside you will find just a small, dried Cordoban rose.
He'll look at the rose inquisitively.
Katsu, make a intelligence check.
Okay. One second. That'd be a 9. Not the best roll. Can I show it to someone else?
Alright. Go ahead and roll with advantage.
Alright. I'll roll again. Alright, this one is 13.
Alright. You recognize the box and the rose. The night before you all sprang our taxis from prison, Nadia told the story of her childhood, growing up, and knowing Artaxes, who is a childhood friend, love of her life, and hero to her people, and how she had given him the box, and then he gave it back to her with this rose in it, as a token of his affection for her. And now you hold that very same box with the same rose in it.
That's who's piecing all together. I think I understand what this means. He says with a bad.
And if you guys would rather take some time to think over your wishes. For story purposes, we will say that they are all given here. You cannot take your wish to go. You would have to voice it here. However, when all of the wishes were granted, and Roshan felt as though he had done his part to thank you, he then asks you where you would like to go.
I can send you anywhere. Where would you like to go?
Minea grins and he looks at Katsu.
Katsu's kind of still thinking in deep thought with the rose.
Minea arches an eyebrow and laughs and shakes his head. Brother Katsu, you are, how do you say it in your Lona language? Less of hope.
Less of... Oh, I see what you're saying. Thanks.
You're welcome. Brother Mew, can you get us back to our home? From, well, anywhere?
Just about.
Then, he says to Katsu, you should decide where we all go.
Wait, me? Already? Well, right now there's only one place I want to go. That's where Sager is.
All right. And with that, Roshan nods and once again says, so be it. And you feel wind stir up around you black and gold sand seems to rise up from nowhere and envelop you. And when it clears away, you find yourselves in a hallway. Before you, you see a man. It takes you a minute to recognize him. Before you recognize it, you're looking at the back of our taxis. But he seems a little bit more tired. Not tortured, but he has a fair number of battle wounds on his body. But he is dressed in elaborate royal guard armor with a pressed pure white kilt, gold bangles, and armaments. You can see a curved sword at his belt, and there are a couple other royal guard that are also present, standing on either side of a door. And they seem to be dressed similarly to him, but they also carry long spears and shield. And he seems to be waiting. His back is to you. But no sooner do you take all this in than the doors burst open from the room. And out comes Sedra, dressed in armor that is very similar to the armor that you first saw her in. Only it is so much more vivid and bright, full of light and glinting in the natural light that comes in through the windows. As she bursts out through the doors, a somewhat startled look on her face as she looks around. Am I home? To which our taxis looks to the guards on either side and says, Empress, are you all right? Of course you're home. You're in the palace. Does the armor suit you? And she looks around, and there's tears in her eyes as she looks to our taxis and the guards, and then she looks past him, and she sees all of you as you're materializing in the hallway. And her eyes settle on Katsu. As she first pushes past and then runs towards Katsu to give him the biggest hug and the biggest kiss that she'd given him yet.
Sedra?
We did it. We're home. This is Cordoba.
Are you sure this is how things should be?
And she leans back and there's tears, but these are happy tears. Meanwhile, the rest of you, you see that our taxis has turned and he's just snapped his fingers a couple of times. The guards from the door have rushed to either side of him, shields and spears ready, and they're moving towards. And he actually pulls something from his belt that looks like a small whistle and blows on it. And it's only probably 20 or 30 seconds before you hear more booted feet that are running down the hall towards you from behind you. But Sedra is just overwhelmed with being here and is very happy. Yes, what does Maneha do?
Maneha will not attack, but he will bring his metal body between the guards and his friends to make sure nobody actually gets poked by any spears.
To which our taxis will look at you, completely unmoved by your metal skin, and say, stand aside and release our Empress. Empress, quickly. To which Sedra will turn and look back, and she still hasn't let go of Katsu.
No, no. Our taxis, these are friends. These are my friends. They brought me home. Put down your weapons. They're friends.
And our taxis very slowly. At this point, you hear the other booted feet come to a stop on the other side. And if you look back, you see there's about 10 more guard that have run up. But our taxis motions for them to take a step back.
I don't understand. What do you mean they brought you home? You just went into that room to try on the armor.
And she looks back at Katsu.
I think it's been a very long minute. And I'm glad it's over.
Very, very long minute.
And our taxis seems like he's willing to let this go a little bit longer. Very well. We stand at your call, Your Highness. And Katsu, you can tell that he's looking at you, the fact that you're embracing the Empress, and he doesn't know who you are. But Sadra then steps away from all of you,
says, please, allow me to share with you the hospitality of Cordova, the way I wanted to.
And she will offer to show you her city.
Katsu will take that offer.
Lady Sadra, if it is all right, well, I am grateful. He slumps. I am very tired.
Then perhaps we'll start with dinner tonight. Our taxis, these are my friends. They deserve the greatest hospitality that we can show them. Please, afford them rooms and everything that they could need. We'll have a special dinner tonight in honor of my friends who have come so far.
And our taxi says, well, yes, Your Highness. I'll let the kitchens know immediately about this last minute feast that they'll need to prepare.
He says, I can help with that.
At first, our taxi is going to say, there will be no need, and Sadra cuts him off and says, I think that would be wonderful. Perhaps you can share some of your recipes.
Indeed.
Then the guard will lead you guys to your quarters, if you would so like to turn in. Otherwise, Sadra is still in the hall if anyone wants to stay behind.
Maneo will walk away, turn around, take one long look at Katsu and Sadra, smile, and then walk off the bed.
Keen will follow Maneo saying, but I do not understand. Katsu did not finish the ritual of courtship. How is this? And his voice trails off as they go.
You will head off with Bruman to have just to talk about how things have gone.
All right, and you would be taken to quarters where you could easily have any kind of a private conversation you want, complete with an open, spacious bedroom with a wide interior, cool tile floors, exceptionally lavish bedding, and grand balconies that you can step out on and view the city of Cordova as Sadra always knew it. Beautiful and bustling, with tall towers and minarets and a beautiful white wall, burnished city gates, and a bustling market below. Just maybe, on your balcony, draped over the edge here and there, growing almost like a weed, you can find white roses. What does Aesel do?
So everyone else is kind of parted off, other than Sadra?
I think Katsu is still around, but I think everybody else is starting to move away.
Okay. She'll step up to Sadra and give her a smile. You did good. We're back. You happy?
And she smiles and cries happy tears and just gives Aesel a big hug. Not a long hug, but a tight squeeze. She says, yes, I am happy. I'm so glad you could be here.
Good. I am too. Enjoy it, and we will too. I'm excited to see everything.
I'm excited too.
Aesel will give her one more smile and then look between Katsu and her. Well, I'll leave you two alone for now. And she'll head off.
And our taxi is still there. But as it dwindles down to just Sadra and Katsu and our taxis and the two guards who are stationed at her door, she says, our taxis will be all right. This is Katsu. And he saved my life many times. And I love him. We'll be all right. Char taxis looks to Katsu. Were you going to say something?
Oh, just like he's holding on to Sage tightly.
Very well, Your Majesty. I will not be far.
And he dutifully steps away.
I feel like we've been through quite a bit in that minute.
Yes. A minute. It doesn't seem like that.
Not at all, of course. But at least we can finally relax a little bit.
See, my father built this place.
She lets her eyes wander up the hallway. And she begins walking down the hall. Not too fast, but walking at a rate that you could walk with her. And she begins to walk with you through the palace, relate stories, and you see that you are in the royal wing of the palace. That presumably was her chambers that she had come out of. There are multiple doors on this wing to bedrooms. You can see the doors are open, the rooms are kept up, but they're all empty. And you pass by one, and it has a couple of canopied beds in it. You pass by another, and it has one smaller bed, and in fact looks almost like a nursery. But they're empty. This is where my sisters stayed. And my brother was in this one. Seems like so long ago. But I guess it was only a month.
Yes, time travel do that to you.
In so many ways, I'm not the same person I was when I left here. I don't feel like I even know myself. Before. And she gets wide eyes as something just occurs to her. She's like, we're at war. And she looks at you.
What?
Or we're about to be at war.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, about a month. It would have been just about a month ago. That's when my family was assassinated. An assassin came in, or a team of them, I'm not sure. And they seemed like they were from the west, from Asturia. Based on what was seen of them, based on the armor that was recovered. But they killed my father and my mother and my siblings. In fact, they would have very nearly killed me too, except for a nightmare that caused me to fall from bed. So all of this happened. There's the month of mourning. And then it must have been right after that that I was thrown from this reality. That means the army's already mobilized. I want to show you something else.
Okay.
And she begins taking you out of the palace and comes out through not the main entrance but through a side entrance and into a courtyard. And you can see there's a stable nearby, and as she passes out into the bright sun, you can see as a couple of attendants immediately bring over her horse, and they bring another horse for you. You can see a snowy white stallion that is brought up with royal silks draped across it and gold and silver in all of its tack. She's helped up onto her horse, and they offer to help you onto your horse as well, if you would like.
Castle Ox will try and mount it himself, if he can perform a roll a performance check.
Okay, actually, do a handle animal check.
Okay. Well, he's ridden fantasy before, so this can't be hard, right? And he rolls a natural one.
All right, you go to step up and slip and fall flat on your rear, to which the attendants very quickly apologize. 1,000 pardons, my lord. Please forgive us. Allow us to assist you. And they pick you up bodily and put you on the horse.
Katsu, being extremely embarrassed, is just blushing and kind of burying his face in the horse's mane.
And Sadra just grins at you, but then says, you have to get used to all the help. It's kind of what we do. Come on, I want to show you. And she spurs off her horse, and she begins riding down out the gate and down the side ramp that leads around to the side of the palace.
All right, shall I roll another handle animal check to see if my horse goes when I click it?
You can do that, or a ride check will also suffice.
All right. Let's hope it is not a natural one this time. It is a 5. My die hate me tonight. Let me see. Handle animal or ride. I have a 2 in ride, so I guess that makes it a 7.
All right, so you're struggling to get the horse to go in the right direction. You do manage out the gate, and it's a ramp, so there's not a lot of ways you could turn off and go, and the horse is pretty well trained. It knows to follow. So it pretty well makes its way after Sadra, and you're on it. But she seems to be quite adept at riding. But growing up in a palace is probably something she's been doing since she was little. But she rides around, and you follow up and eventually catch up to her as she is dismounting at a different gate. And this gate is lower in the palace, almost down on ground level. And there is, it's not a gate so much as a doorway, a yawning opening of black marble. And there are stationed here 8 royal guard. There are also 2 massive embossments of royal guard on either side of the door. And she leads you inside. And you step in, and immediately you feel like you're in a subterranean vault. The air is very cool here. But there's a freshness to it, since the entrance is so large. You can see on the walls, there's writing, and it's Cordoban. Language that you're not familiar with, I don't think. But you can see images that are also embossed or built as mosaics on the walls, written on the pillars. And you pass down through a wide passageway that leads past several alcoves, which are just empty right now, open hollow spaces with sconces for torches, but they're not lit. But down at the end, you can see there is torchlight. And she brings you down to the end where there are 5 sarcophagi. One is gold-plated, decked with jewels and finery on a raised platform of white marble. And embossed into the lid is the sleeping form of a great man, king and emperor, a warrior with his sword, an armor that appears strangely like that you saw Bakir wear, or the Templar. Next to him is a slightly smaller sarcophagus, but beautiful, covered in images of serene beauty and peace. And on the lid, carved into it, the image of a young maiden, innocent and pure and beautiful, guarded over by a great snowy owl with its wings wrapped down over her shoulders. It's at this one that Sadra comes to pause. But you can see beyond it, on the other side of this one, you can see 2 more, each covered in images of children at play, obviously the resting places of her sisters, and the one at the far end, the smallest, that of her brother. Still a small child by the size of the box. But Sadra comes in, and she pauses. This is my family.
Oh, I see.
And she goes over to her mother's sarcophagus and lightly puts her hand on it. Part of me thought maybe she wouldn't still be here. And she is actually going to, at this point, notice that she has a letter tucked into her gear as well. She's going to pull it out. She's going to open it and she's going to read it.
Are you reading it out loud?
For the sake of our audience, yes. And then I'll decide if she read it out loud for Katsu's benefit.
Dearest Sadra, I do not know what the future holds for any of us. If you are reading this, you have likely succeeded. Ataf be praised. I do not know if I or my world will survive, but I cannot leave my people to be tortured. You have a real chance to restore our people and our land. If sacrifices had to be made, do not blame yourself. Only the wicked ones who have defied Ataf and betrayed our people. Restore our land, seek justice, rule with love, wisdom, and mercy that I have already seen in you. I'm certain your father would be proud of you, as I will be. I truly believe that you will make the best leader Cordova has ever seen, even our whole world. The Cordova that should be, and could be, will be, thanks to you. Surround yourself with those faithful to you and to Ataf. You may not have noticed, or maybe you have. Our connection has amazed me and has awoken my better spirit in ways I did not think were possible. I have few regrets. Thank you for giving me hope. The daughter I never had and never knew I needed. I pray for you all the blessings of Ataf. Remember, we walk what Ataf lays before us to walk, and in that there is peace. Thank you. Love, Nadia, your mother.
And Sadra, reading the note, looks back to Katsu, tears in her eyes, and begins to weep for the loss of her mother.
Katsu comforts Sadra and hugs her tightly.
And she cries for a while. But it's good. It's a good, deep cry. And when she's finally done, you're able to leave that place. But before she goes from there, she takes her father's pistol, that Templar pistol, and she sets it on his sarcophagus and leaves it there. And with another look at her mother's sarcophagus, with the note still in her hand, she folds it back up and puts that back away to keep. The two of you make your way back out of the tombs and back towards the palace in time to get ready for dinner. Dinner is a grand affair with a great spread of food from all over the kingdom, as only Cordova could supply. I'm getting scolded.
Dinner is a grand affair with food from all over the kingdom. Rich food, sweet food, hearty meal, everything that you could want that they could have possibly put in front of you, they've done so. It's not quite as good as Rashan's spread, but it's pretty good for a royal meal. All of you are placed at the head table, sitting to either side of Sedra and Katsu. You are given a place of high honor immediately next to her. And as you eat, there are performers who come in to perform various acrobatic stunts and feats. There's musicians. There are other courtiers and political figures that are present in this dinner as well. But they seem to be at other tables, and in some ways it's almost like sitting at the Gold Goblin again. Only it's actually gold. As you sit there together, Sedra looks at each of you and says, "I want to thank you all for coming so far to help me. I couldn't have done this without you. And you all mean more to me than I could ever say." If there's anything I can do for you, I would love to. I don't know how to say thank you. There's no way to repay what you've done for me.
There's no need to repay. There's no debt. So honestly, it's the least that we could do, and seeing you happy and back here with the people who care about you, and when you look over at Katsu, that is all that I could have asked for. I know that in the past you'd looked for a way to connect peoples, a way to bring the lands together. And as the empress of this land, I know that you've already succeeded. And even still, you do own a private demiplane. Would you mind adding a gateway to this location?
I would love to have a gateway to this location. If only I knew someone who could do that sort of thing. Katsu, do you know anyone who can do that?
Well, I might know a certain wizard or so.
Is he a mountain wizard, by chance?
Why, how did you know? And he'll smile. But yes, I'll definitely help out.
In that case, I would love to have it. You are all welcome to stay as long as you want to. I would never send any of you away. I do need to tell you, though, I mentioned this to Katsu earlier. We're kind of about to go to war.
Oh. Tamir looks over at Bruman and says, "I assume you want this to be a private affair." What did you want to begin negotiations of peace from a position of strength?
Well, before...
She looks back at Katsu.
Before, I just wanted revenge. Our taxis warned me about that. But now, I think I just want peace. It needs to be made right. What they did, they killed my family. But a long war is not the right answer either. So I suppose I want both.
If you wish to begin peace negotiations, I do know a few bodyguards who can ensure that you stay safe while you're there.
Well, that would be most appreciated. After all, I've seen what the Templar can do now, and I'm not looking forward to fighting an army of them. Still, my army has already moved to the Western Front. I was to go and join them before everything happened. I suppose that's still the case. But perhaps there's room for negotiations. I want you to know, though, that none of you are beholden to any of this.
And she looks last at Katsu and says,
I don't want you to feel like you have to get involved.
Well, I think they made it personal for me, so it's not you getting me involved, it's them getting me involved by bothering you. We're a team now.
And I'll be glad to have you with me.
Benea is chewing on a piece of meat. My grandfather... Oh, excuse me. My grandfather told me that I was charged with making sure Sadra returned safely to her home. Well, if there are those who wish to harm her, then she is not safe yet. So, I will stay as well and help as I can.
Thank you, Maneha. I really do appreciate that.
Maneha smiles and nods.
Perhaps you can also teach me how to finish the Kentuck ritual?
Keen looks relieved that things will be done properly.
He leans over to whisper to Katsu, but it is plenty loud enough that everyone can hear.
We will talk of this more later, yes.
Fair enough, we are at a banquet.
And Sadra, she kind of cocks her head a little bit and says,
What Kentuck ritual?
It is nothing. No, it is simply, friend Katsu wanted to learn more about the culture of my people.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Emine rolled a 6 on his bluff check.
All right, well, she just smiles and says,
I see. Well, that sounds like a wonderful thing to learn about.
And she's just going to leave that there. All right. As the meal begins to wind down, you have the opportunity to talk longer if there's things you would like to say, or if you want to wait to talk to anyone in private, have a closer conversation. Those opportunities could be made, but we're getting a little close to the time that we'll be closing the session. So before we get there, let me ask you, is there anything in particular that you want to do on this night before you all retire to your posh living spaces?
After dinner is done, Maneha will take Katsu aside to talk to him. But until then, he'll just keep on eating.
Okay, is there anyone else that wanted to have something in particular? Did Mew and Bruman want to have a conversation?
Sort of did, but at the same time, I feel that this is Katsu and Sage's night.
All right. Very well, then. Then, as the meal finishes up, Maneha, you see your opportunity to pull Katsu aside. And Sadra sees this, but allows it. She turns and busies herself with other things, but she lets Katsu know that she'll be around for a while. If he wants to come back. So the two of you are able to pull away, and Maneha, you have Katsu's ear.
He will actually pull Katsu just like around the corner, out of sight of everyone. Friend, no, brother Katsu, I was going to instruct you in the ways of the rest of the ritual of the Kintu ritual of courtship, but well, it seems that you have fulfilled it already.
Really?
Yes, you did the ritual of words, which was well done. And after that was the ritual of gifts, where the young man finds a proper gift to give to the young lady. It is usually a flower, but you now have a flower. And then there was the ritual of deeds, where the young man goes to the hills and destroys a yeti for the young lady, and gives it to her as a pelt to wear during the cold. But you have already done many, many deeds for Lady Sadra. There is only one left. It is the ritual of promise. Normally, the young man will take the young lady up to a high hill, and there he will ask her to become his today. I think the lowland term is wife. I don't know if there are hills in this desert. So, and Manea will reach into his handy haversack and pull out his magic carpet. You should use this instead.
We could always build a mountain. Sand's not that hard to form.
Oh, he cocked his head. I suppose you could, but I do not know if they would like it if you changed all of their, how do you say this, scape of land.
I suppose so.
Besides, I think I have heard that this is far more romantic. That, or it is far more crop-like. I get the phrases mixed up. But anyway, and he will hand you his flying carpet. It is a little snug, but I think both of you can fit on there.
Thank you, Maneha. I do appreciate this. I will give it back.
Oh, no. Maneha shakes his head. No, it is my gift to you.
Oh, really? Are you sure?
He nods his head. I would feel honored if I knew that I was able to give this to you, that you may fulfill the final role of the courtship.
Thank you, Maneha. This means a lot. And I will.
Maneha smiles. Normally, the courtship lasts longer, but you have known Lady Sadra for a long time, and I think you started the courtship long before I instructed you.
And he'll kind of blush, and I guess we'll roll up the carpet to put underneath the sleeve.
Oh, I am sorry. He looks at his handy haversack. I did not think that, yes, it would grow in size. Do you have a bag of holding?
I think he does. Give me one second. I think everyone does at this point, but let me actually check my inventory. I don't think he actually does at the moment, but yeah, I think he'll just buy one real quick for story purposes.
Okay, now, I think there are things you need to say to your beloved. And he'll turn away, and then turn back. I do not mean that you need to propose to her tonight. Though, if you did, that would be quite marvelous, I think. But it is your choice. Yes. Okay, I will go now. Good night, Katsu.
Good night, Maneha. And he'll head back to Sadra.
Alright, and when you return to the dining hall, at first you find it empty. You don't see her. There's some servants that are still clearing the place, but it's empty of all of the diners. They've all gone out. But after looking for a moment, you can see beyond the other side of the dining hall, where it's more of an open wall with just pillars to the hall on the other side. And then that hall is lined with arches and pillars that lead directly outside. So you have this wonderful free flow of air through the whole structure in this area. And in the dark of the evening, under the twin moons that are bathing the desert and the city in their soft, pale glow, there she is, framed in one of the arches, just leaning on the rail.
And he'll just kind of slowly come up behind Sadra and say, hey, how's the view?
It's just like I remember.
This is amazing, Sadra. It really is. And he'll just kind of breathe slowly. And again, pull her into a hug.
And she reciprocates that hug. She gives it back and just kind of snuggles into his arm a little bit.
Well, I guess we have to talk plans, huh? Plans of, and he'll kind of stutter courtship and, you know, a wedding. I'm not sure how weddings work in Cordova, but apparently I already completed the blessings.
And she turns herself around, so she's looking right up at you, leaning back slightly on the rail. Well, you have the blessings. I suppose normally, once you get the blessing, you receive a gift of some sort.
And after that, the ceremony is planned.
A gift? Maybe something like this? And he'll pull out the rose and offer it to Sager.
This was Nadia's box. How did you come to have this?
As crazy as it sounds, I really just found it in my pocket. And he'll actually show him, Sadra, the note as well.
And she reads it. And not for the first time has to brush some tears away as she looks back at the flower and very gently closes the lid back on the box of this dried rose. Only a Taff could have ordered it so well. I suppose, then, there's a ceremony to plan.
Yes, I suppose so. Unfortunately, that might be the hardest part to plan. See, I was thinking, even if, as much as I do wish to be with you as much as possible, as quickly as possible, we should wait. If we should, one, you know, focus on the upcoming war, and two, I need to learn more of your culture, because, well, let's be honest, if suddenly you just pronounce that you're marrying this random guy that just showed up 1 minute, they might think that something is afoot.
Oh, I see. So, you think it would be wise for you to sort of get to know the culture and the city and what it's like in Cordova, then. Before
yeah.
we spring it on the world that we're getting married.
Right. I guess right now we'll just seem like super close friends, but, you know, of course, we both know what's really going on, and he'll blush to himself.
All right. And our taxis can teach you everything. I'm sure he won't mind.
I'm sure he will, but we'll see how it goes.
It'll be fine. Our taxis was my father's best friend. He's always been like an uncle to me. So he's going to want to test you himself. But I'll tell him not to be too mean. But perhaps we'll make this a short war.
Well, I really hope so. I mean, I think Mew and the others, I mean, I don't know if Mew will help us out, but hopefully he will. But we plan to seem to be able to finish things quickly. If anything, I know Mew will probably scout ahead and have 7 plans at the ready of how to take them down.
Well, as long as he stops short of splitting the world in half, I think we'll be all right.
And he'll laugh to himself. All right, so. Boy, it's a beautiful night, isn't it? Well, I'm assuming it's night.
It is night, and as you look up, you can see the two moons are just starting to cross over each other. Do you know what that means?
I'll look up the two moons. a lunar eclipse?
Well, yes, sort of. It means that the Festival of the Moons is not too far away. Only probably a few days. It would be sad to miss it. The Festival of the Moons is a special time in Cordoba. It's a time when the djinn walk freely in the streets, and magic glints in the very air. All sorts of strange things can happen on that night.
That's so. So these strange things, no, I'll ask about those later. Why not we go to the festival?
Well, as long as we're not at war when it happens, we should definitely go to the festival.
I mean, I don't see a better way to learn about culture, your culture, than, you know, going to a festival and having fun.
Oh, absolutely. It would be a very educational experience for you, I'm sure.
And that's what we'll tell everyone who questions why I'm there.
This is an educational experience for one outsider to learn his way around Cordoban culture. Yes, I'm sure that's exactly what they'll buy.
Indeed. I just so happen to be traveling around with the Empress. That's all.
Well, there's no need to leave strangers unattended to. What are we if not hospitable?
Of course, of course. And I'll just see about convincing him, saying that, you know, close hugging and maybe a peck or two is just my cultural way of saying thank you.
I think you should walk me back to my quarters.
All right. And he'll smile and do just that.
And as you walk slowly back down the hallway, lost with each other and not really aware of anything else that's going on around you, we will close out our session on a cool desert night in the Palace of Cordoba. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Quicksilver?
Yes.
I am so, so sorry.
No, that's okay. It definitely took the fight out of the night, but that's okay. good rolls, good tactics, and definitely changed the parameters. There was actually a chance that the djinn would have stayed and fought anyway, just for himself. But that didn't work out that way either, so that's okay.
Yay!
Maneha was MVP tonight.
Indeed.
Very, very good job.
Aw, thanks, guys.